He was accused for multiple things in a ministry. They tried to accuse Jesus and stifle him out from the day that he was born. There was people that set out to kill him. King Herod set out to find this baby Jesus and do away with him. From the day that he was born, Satan has been on his trail trying to sniff him out and kill his life. And so there was people that sped upon him, that smitten him in Matthew 26. There was those that hated him without reason in John 15. He was the vicarious sacrifice in Romans 5 and 6 and 8. He was crucified with malefactors in Mark 15. He was pierced through his hands and his feet in John 20. He was scorned and mocked in Luke 23. He prayed for his enemies. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," in Luke 23. The soldiers gambled for his garments in Matthew 27. His side was pierced in John 19. He was buried with the rich in Matthew 27. He was resurrected in Mark 16, and his ascension into God's right hand is found in Mark 16 and 1 Corinthians. These are the things that Jesus went through for us. My friends, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it draws our attention to what the Lord did for you and me. My friend, he had the crown of thorns shoved down on his head. He had the plucking of his beard out of his face. He had the nails that were driven through his hands and through his feet. He had his side pierced with a sword. He did all that for you and me, and yet he opened not his mouth. And he said, he prayed for you and me and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's some things, my friend, when we come to partake of the Lord's Supper, when we come to partake of that, remembering the agonizing that the Lord did, remembering when he was on the cross of Calvary for you and me. Not only that, but we need to remember an achieving Lord, a Lord that conquered everything. He said in verse 26, "For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death," what? "Till he come." That means we have an achieving Lord, a Lord that rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, a Lord that is coming back one day to receive you and me into his kingdom. My friends, and I think about Jesus. I think about what he did. I think about Matthew 28 in verses 1 through 7. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene to the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake," as Trevor sang about, "for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and he came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was as lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, 'Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen.' He said, 'Come see the place where the Lord lay, and so quickly and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth forth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you.'" My friends, it's a time not only to remember the agony and the agonizing pain that Jesus went through on the cross for us, but remembering that we serve a conquering Lord, an achieving Lord, one that is alive and well. Not only that, but we're to remember an appearing Lord, a Lord that appeared unto them. In verse 26, he said again, "You do show the Lord's death till he come." When I think about the appearing Lord, I think that when the Lord died, I don't think I know. When he died, my friend, scripture is plain that there were those that seen him. When you look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8, there's evidence that Jesus arose and he's alive and well. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." It's the gospel I declare unto you, "which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." He said, "For I have delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin, according to the Scripture, and he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the Scripture, my friends, and that he was seen of Cephas, of Peter, then of the 12, and then that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me, of Paul also, as one born out of due time. My friend, there in the Scripture is proof that Jesus rose again. How much more proof do we need other than what the Scripture says, that we serve a Savior that's alive and well, one that is willing to die for you and me, but not only die, not only hang on a cross, not only buried in a tomb, but rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, so you and I one day can reign with him in all eternity, my friends. That's something to be excited about, something to remember of what Jesus did for you and me. Remembering he's appearing, my friend. Not only that, but it's a time of repentance. He tells us in verse 27 through 30, he said, wherefore, whosoever shall drink and eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. He said in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. When we see this, my friends, it is a time of remembrance. It is a time that we remember the agonizing that Jesus did on the cross. It is a time that we remember the achieving Lord, the conquering Lord that appeared to many. It's a time remembering about his appearing. But it's a time of repentance, my friends, that we need to do some soul searching. We need to examine ourselves this morning and see where we line up with the Lord. Examine ourselves. When we look at ourselves and we look at Jesus, seeing where it is that we line up with him. See what it is in our heart. Is there anything in there, anything that's inside that is hindering our walk with the Lord, that's hindering our talk with the Lord, that's hindering us as a church body and a family, that's hindering us as individuals in our relationships with our spouses, our children, or whatever it is. It's time to do self-examination and see where it is that we line up with the Lord. He said it's wise for us to do that. It's wise for us to examine ourselves before we partake of the Lord's Supper and his cup, and we're going to have a time of invitation. It's wise to examine ourselves to see where we line up with the Lord, my friends, because we don't want to partake of the Lord's body and discerning his body when there's sin in our life that needs to be dealt with. We need to get ourselves under submission and power of the authority of God. I believe, Danny, you said that in your prayer. Bringing our body to the Lord under submission to you, under subjection to you, under your power and authority of the presence of Almighty God. A time to examine ourselves, a time to repent. As 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us all from unrighteousness. A time, my friend, to confess our faults to him. A time to confess to the Lord, my friend, sin that is in our life. A time to acknowledge them. And he said, if we do, he'll be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we acknowledge unto him, he's a loving Savior. He's a forgiving Father. Ain't you glad he forgives today? Ain't you glad for the Lord's saving power, his mercy, and his grace that he extends to us, my friends, that when we fail, my friends, he's not there to step on us and hold us down. He's there to lend out a hand and pick us back up and send us on the right way, my friend. Send us and get us back on the path we need to be. Aren't you glad for Jesus' saving grace today? Not only that, but it's a time of renewal. A time of renewal, he tells us. Look at verse 31. He says, for if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. It's a time of renewal, a time to check our vows out. What have we promised the Lord that you haven't carried out? What have you promised to the Lord that you haven't carried out? It's a time of renewal. It's a time to check up on the vows that you made to the Lord. It's time to see where you stand up and line up in your life. What have you promised the Lord that you was going to do that you haven't followed through with? What was it that you told him? That you're going to read God's word more this year. That you're going to pray more this year. You're going to be more faithful to attending God's house. More faithful to giving to the work of the Lord. I don't know what you vowed to the Lord. I don't know. You might have said, Lord, if you just touch my body and heal me this year, I'd do this or that or the other for you. Only you know what you vowed to the Lord. I pray today that you will remember what you said to him, my friends, and that you will keep the vows that you made unto him, that you will become real, my friends, in what you do. It's a time of renewal if you made vows to him, if you promised the Lord, and my friend, you haven't carried them out, then the Lord's going to give you an opportunity to. Ecclesiastes 5:1-6 says this. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not they do evil. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou art upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. How many of us can gain some knowledge from that? Amen. For dreams cometh through a multitude of business. We have a vision here. We have a dream. And it comes by a multitude of business, by an effort of activity. And a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. He says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, and defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than to shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hand? My friends, when we make a vow to the Lord, we better keep it. When we promise the Lord we're going to do something, we better keep it. When we're committed to do something for the Lord, you better stay committed, my friend, because if not, it's better for you to not even have said it than for you to have said it, and you got a payday coming. You got a payday coming. What have you vowed to the Lord? What promise have you made to him? What commitment have you made to the Lord? My friend, if you haven't followed through with that, I urge you this morning, do business with the Lord. Do some self-examination and get that right before the Lord, my friends. Our vision, I think about our vision as this verse was talking about. Our vision, our time at the Lord's table is a great time for us to remember why are we here anyhow. Remember why are we here. It's that we're to look ahead, he said, to look ahead till he comes. Look back at verse 26. He said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. It's a time, my friend, to have a vision, a time to look ahead. And that's what we've been preaching on, what we've been talking about is a vision, a time we're looking ahead, a time to, are we looking for Jesus' appearing? Are we looking for him to return? Are we looking for him to show up on a cloud? I think we've heard it so long that it's lost its impact when pastors say anymore, Jesus can come and it might be today. I don't think we are looking for his return, my friends. And that's the reason scripture says he's going to come as a thief in the night. Because we're not going to be looking for him. Because we've gotten lazy. My friend, we've got complacent. We've gotten satisfied. My friend, he wants us to renew our spirit about us. And my friend, be anticipating Jesus' return. Be anticipating his coming again. A vision, looking ahead, seeking Jesus till he comes. The Lord is worthy of our best service, faithfulness, and worship. Listen to this right here, folks. Talking about our vision. Talking about our future. A church. A church. I want you to read that with me. You with me? A church with a future is only as large as its vision and each individual member's commitment to carry out the vision of the church for the future. Are you looking for it? Are we the church? Church of a future It's only going to be as large as what our vision is. It's only going to be as large as it is as an individual member, and only as large as our commitment is to carry out the vision of the church for the future. And I want to be that church of the future that everybody is talking about. Not because of me. Not because of this church name. Not because of any of that. But because the individuals, members that are in here, and their commitment to carry out the vision of the church of the future. That's what I want. Us to be committed. Committed individuals, committed members to carry out the vision for the church of the future. What is our vision? Worthy. God is worthy of the best service. God is worthy of our best faithfulness. God is worthy of our best worship, my friends, in order to carry out the future of this church and the vision that God has before us. Oh, listen to me. Danny, y'all can come back up. Folks, listen to me. When we go and we partake of the Lord's Supper today, my friends, and we're looking at that. As I said, it's a time of remembrance with the Lord's Supper. It is a time to remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary. A time to remember all that he went through. A time to remember the suffering that he did. A time to remember the crown of thorns that were placed on his head. A time to remember the nails in his hands and in his feet. A time to remember the spear being thrust through his side. It's a time of remembrance. A time, my friend, to think about the achieving Lord. The one that rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. A one that is alive and well. A time to remember the Lord arising. A time, my friend, for repentance. A time if we've strayed away from the Lord. If there's something we've done in our life. He tells us again in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us all from all unrighteousness, my friend. It's a time, and then a time for renewal. A time to let the Lord excite you again. A time of renewal in your life. A time of making things right with the Lord. If you made a promise, if you made a vow before him, it's a time to keep that, a time to make that right.